So I'm here in Boston today, broadcasting from the studios of our partner station, WGBH. And since we're here, we might as well talk about some Boston lore. Fenway Park, the storied ballpark. Of course, in baseball, what ballpark isn't storied? But Fenway celebrated its 100th birthday late last month. The stuff of legends. I mean, remember, this is where the curse of the Bambino began. The 86-year World Series drought, and then, of course, the reversal of the curse of the Bambino. But today we want to talk about something which is perhaps less known, less storied, and less legendary, the troubled racial past of Fenway Park. And joining us now, Philip Martin, reporter for our partner WGBH, who's been looking into this history. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste, and welcome to Boston.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about Fenway. And it's I think it probably surprises not just me, but a lot of people that there is a troubled racial past at Fenway.
Oh, absolutely. I think many people already know that Boston was the last team to integrate, the last major league team to integrate, and that black people, for example, in Boston, rather than cheering the Red Sox for years, they began, by cheering the Dodgers because of Jackie Robinson. That's no surprise. But then secondly, this might be surprising to people, is that they started cheering the Yankees during the 1970s because they were Boston's main rival. So you would see lots of Yankee caps around here. I spoke in doing this story to a fellow named John Gorton, who's the executive director of Dorchester Roxbury Little League. And he says, you used to see more blacks wearing Yankee caps than Red Sox caps around here. But it wasn't just a matter of the rivalry. There was something else, too.
When there was a major rivalry between the Yankees and the Red Sox, the Yankees stepped up and did a lot of stuff in Boston. Actually, I think it was more because of A-Rod. Because A-Rod actually anticipated coming to Boston at one point in time, but figured he was too hated to actually lay his hat here, so he said no. At one point in time, the Yankees were spending a lot of money in this city.
So the Yankees were investing more, you say, in getting diverse audiences here in Boston than the Red Sox?
At least it seemed that way. Fenway was a problematic place in the 1970s in particular, but you can go back much further than that to the time Tom Yawkey, basically, according to David Halberstam, he shouted when Jackie Robinson was trying out at Fenway Park during the 1940s, get that N-word off the field. That's what he told his, and he told his scout, not to look at Willie Mays of the Birmingham Black Barons of the Negro League, and not to look at any black person. And this became Tom Yawkey's legacy. And when you talk about the curse of the Bambino, a lot of people say it wasn't the curse of the Bambino. It was the curse of racism. Because by not hiring, refusing to hire anyone from the Negro League from the time that the Negro League was around, and from the time Babe Ruth famously called it a day in 1918, and thus began the curse of the Bambino, that they cursed themselves by not having, by not looking for black talent. I mean, when they finally found a black person, his name was Pumpsy Green. Now, he was essentially, he was a backup infielder and pinch hitter. So he was like, if you will, he was a pretty mediocre player. But this is what substituted for Jackie Robinson. This is what substituted for a good player. And that was then. I mean, as I said,
that was in baseball history. That's ancient history.
That's baseball history. But also in the 70s during the busing era, Boston sort of gained a reputation. Fenway gained a reputation as a place not to be. You would hear kids shouting, here we go, Boston, here we go. Or here we go, Red Sox, here we go. But that was the same chant you'd hear in South Boston during the busing crisis. Here we go, Southie, here we go. Here we go, Southie, here we go. So it sort of stuck in people's minds. But that's, as I said, that was a different Fenway. Under John Henry, which, again, a new regime, the Red Sox have acknowledged the problems of the past, and they say that they have a major outreach in effect to bring blacks, in particular to Fenway, and blacks to Major League Baseball, for that matter. And Sam Kennedy, he's the Red Sox COO, he said he learned from the experiences with the San Diego Padres what progress could be made by integrating these games more fully.
It's important that you recognize, first of all, that we need to make Fenway as warm, hospitable, as friendly a place for everyone That's something that I learned out in San Diego, ironically, being from Boston. But that was sort of how we tried to embrace the market in San Diego. We literally broke down barriers and welcomed in fans from Tijuana and south of the border when we were in San Diego. We opened the doors to East County and South Bay, and that hadn't been done before with the prior Padres regime.
We're speaking with Philip Martin, a reporter for our partner station, WGBH. But Philip, to a certain extent, Boston isn't doing any worse at attracting African Americans than any other baseball team.
Well, the problem with Major League Baseball, period, is that the black participation has declined, both on the field and in the stands. The fan base has declined. I spoke to Noah Jackson, who's the Northern California area scout for the San Diego Padres and executive director of the First Base Foundation, which is a program designed to allow young minority athletes to play baseball on the high school level. Now, he said that, as you pointed out, this is not unique to Fenway.
It's baseball-wide. I mean, I go to the Oakland Coliseum, and it's still the same crowd that I would see at Fenway Park. It doesn't really grasp the community. I mean, the only difference that you'll see at the Oakland Coliseum, per se, is when they do their $2 Wednesday days and it makes it affordable for everybody to go.
What's the solution, Philip? Maybe if they got more black ball players on the field?
Well, the solution is pretty, you basically have to focus on young people. You have to get more people involved in the game. Fenway recognizes they have to bring young people to the game. They have to bring them to Fenway Park. And what a lot of this is today is cost. The economics of baseball is prohibitive for many young black, many Latino kids, for that matter, many young white kids. It has become a middle-class suburban sport, by and large, and that what Fenway recognizes what they have to do and other stadiums have to do and other teams have to do is basically give out some free tickets.
Right.
And they also have to work on the grassroots level to work. They have to work with kids in schools. They have to work with them at boys and girls clubs. They have to cooperate fully across the board on the grassroots level.
Yeah, it's not really possible to climb a tree and peek over into the field anymore. Philip Martin, reporter for WGBH, our partner station. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Celeste.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.